Welcome to the Open Scroll audio series. The study you're about to hear was written by Bob Schlenker and is being read by Aaron Herman. You're listening to an installment of When Cometh That Thief in the Night. This is a study called A Flood Like and Unlike Noah's.
With insight into the esoteric meaning of Psalm 90 verse 4, we expect the prime Shemitah of Daniel's 70th week to be modeled on biblical history in a somewhat granular way. This is the reasoning behind our interest in this study about how the flood of Noah's day may foreshadow the events of the middle of the second year of what I will call the Night Watch. In your approach to this study, the more familiar you are with them and the other fundamentals of the collection titled When Cometh That Thief in the Night, the better. See the threefold model of great sevens and the night of seven watches. An event or series of events that are foreshadowed in the great flood of Noah's day should be expected in the night watch at the time relative to when the great flood happened during the millennial week. Quite frankly, this flood season isn't something I have revelation insight into, and I'm not interested in trying to make a prediction or some kind of forecast or to waste my time and yours with useless speculation. What value this revision in September of 2016 will have in days to come or after time itself is reset, I can't say. But I have a conviction that there is value in it. So let's consider the pattern and seek the Lord for what insight He may be pleased to give. Before launching into the meat of the study, I want to encourage a perspective where this is all viewed in a wider context, expanded to include the very significant events that led up to the flood, angels falling to earth in breeding, and those that followed, earth divided in the days of Peleg, the building and destruction of the city and Tower of Babel. These may also project and reflect in like manner. I don't expect to be giving those further attention in this present season beyond what may be found on the blog. Subject to change without notice, it must be said. Here are some key scriptures about the flood of Noah's day. Then the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great on the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. The Lord was sorry that he made man on the earth, and he was grieved in his heart. The Lord said, I will blot out man whom I have created from the face of the land, from man to animals to creeping things and to birds of the sky, for I am sorry that I have made them. But Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord. Genesis 6, verses 5 through 8. Behold, I, even I, am bringing the flood of water upon the earth, to destroy all flesh in which is the breath of life from under heaven. Everything that is on the earth shall perish. But I will establish my covenant with you, and you shall enter the ark, you and your sons and your wife and your sons' wives with you. Genesis 6, verses 17 and 18. Those passages of Scripture reveal something about the purpose of the flood. What's coming must compare to that in some way. One thing we know, the earth and its inhabitants won't be destroyed by any kind of flood on the same scale. I establish my covenant with you, and all flesh shall never again be cut off by the water of the flood, neither shall there again be a flood to destroy the earth. Genesis 9, verse 11. We have a sign of this enduring promise through the rainbow. It shall come about when I bring a cloud over the earth that the bow will be seen in the cloud, and I will remember my covenant, which is between me and you and every living creature of all flesh, and never again shall the water become a flood to destroy all flesh. Genesis 9, verses 14 and 15. The flood of Noah's day was a means of dealing with a sinful condition on a large scale and a means of saving what could or should be salvaged. The evil and regrettable condition was due to a kind of pest infestation, Nephilim hybridization and corruption of all that could be touched, a supreme crisis of genetics or heritage. When seals and trumpets of the book of Revelation manifest, There is nothing that suggests something approaching a great flood event, at least not by water. But there is a record of note in chapter 12. And when the dragon saw that he was thrown down to the earth, he persecuted the woman who gave birth to the male child. But the two wings of the great eagle were given to the woman, so that she could fly into the wilderness to her place, where she was nourished for a time, and times, and half a time, from the presence of the serpent. And the serpent poured water like a river out of his mouth after the woman, so that he might cause her to be swept away with the flood. But the earth helped the woman, and the earth opened its mouth and drank up the river which the dragon poured out of his mouth. So the dragon was enraged with the woman, and went off to make war with the rest of her children, who keep the commandments of God, and hold to the testimony of Jesus. Revelation 12, verses 13 through 17. This is something of a counter-flood, brought by the serpent dragon, whose own offspring were targeted for destruction in Noah's day. This flood isn't on the same scale, or even of the same literal kind, but the action is intended for a similar purpose. If I had no reason to conclude otherwise, it might be easily seen to line up with the flood in the midst of the second millennial week. I don't believe it does, because it lines up elsewhere, with the span of time and times and half a time, providing one of several clues. There is a metaphor in common use where a flood refers to some kind of wave that washes over and overwhelms, as if to drown. The overwhelming flood may come by intense emotion, terror, or a literal enemy offensive. Wrath is fierce and anger is a flood. Proverbs 27, verse 4a. Terrors overtake him, a wicked man, like a flood. Job 27, verse 20. The floods have lifted up, O Lord. The floods have lifted up their voice. The floods lift up their pounding waves. Psalm 93, verse 3. Save me, O God, for the waters have threatened my life. I have sunk in deep mire, and there is no foothold. I have come into deep waters, and a flood overflows me. I am weary with my crying. My throat is parched. My eyes fail while I wait for my God. Those who hate me without a cause are more than the hairs of my head. Those who would destroy me are powerful, being wrongfully my enemies. What I did not steal, I then have to restore. Deliver me from the mire, and do not let me sink. May I be delivered from my foes and from the deep waters. May the flood of water not overflow me, nor the deep swallow me up, nor the pit shut its mouth on me. Psalm 69, verses 1 through 4, and verses 14 and 15. The psalmist's cry bears witness to the same time that is the subject of the following psalm. You turn man back into dust, and say, Return, O children of men. For a thousand years in your sight are like yesterday when it passes by, or as a watch in the night. You have swept them away like a flood. They fall asleep. In the morning they are like grass which sprouts anew. In the morning it flourishes and sprouts anew. Toward evening it fades and withers away. For we have been consumed by your anger, and by your wrath we have been dismayed. You have placed our iniquities before you, our secret sins in the light of your presence. For all our days have declined in your fury. We have finished our years like a sigh. Psalm 90, verses 3 through 9. Being swept away like a flood is the subject of the verse that follows, the very one that conceals and reveals the pattern of the three great weeks. I see this as being significant, and with the language of verse 7 and following, hearkening back to the circumstances of the flood of Noah's day. This is selective, with differing outcomes. The consequence of being swept away like a flood is that they fall asleep. Anesthetized? I reflect on how 2 Thessalonians 2 bears witness to a deluding influence, and 1 Thessalonians 5 of a sleeping at night. Here's a reference to a flood in another notable passage. 70 weeks have been decreed for your people and your holy city to finish the transgression, to make an end of sin, to make atonement for iniquity, to bring in everlasting righteousness, to seal up vision and prophecy, and to anoint the most holy place. So you are to know and discern that from the issuing of a decree to restore and rebuild Jerusalem until Messiah the Prince, there will be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. It will be built again, with plaza and moat, even in times of distress. Then, after the 62 weeks, the Messiah will be cut off, and have nothing, and the people of the Prince who is to come will destroy the city and the sanctuary, and its end will come with a flood. Even to the end there will be war. Desolations are determined. And he will make a firm covenant with the many for 1 week. But in the middle of the week he will put a stop to sacrifice and grain offering, and on the wing of abominations will come one who makes desolate, even until a complete destruction, one that is decreed, is poured out on the one who makes desolate. Daniel 9, verses 24 through 27. Of the city and sanctuary, there will be an end that comes with a flood, of some kind. As to whether or not that action aligns with or matches to the flood of Noah's day, I have no insight to offer. The Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble, and he knows those who take refuge in him. But with an overflowing flood, he will make a complete end of its sight, and will pursue his enemies into darkness. Nahum 1, verses 7 and 8. When I kept silent about my sin, my body wasted away, through my groaning all day long. For day and night your hand was heavy upon me. My vitality was drained away, as with the fever heat of summer. Selah. I acknowledged my sin to you, and my iniquity I did not hide. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord. And you forgave the guilt of my sin. Selah. Therefore, let everyone who is godly pray to you in a time when you may be found. Surely in a flood of great waters they will not reach him. Psalm 32, verses 3 through 6. In the following passage, there is no flood named, but the people going through fire and water, together with the compatibility of the rest of the passage with what we've been reading, makes it worth noting. Severe trial, refining, trapping, notably, for good to come of it. Bless our God, O peoples, and sound his praise abroad, who keeps us in life and does not allow our feet to slip. For you have tried us, O God. You have refined us as silver is refined. You brought us into the net. You laid an oppressive burden upon our loins. You made men ride over our heads. We went through fire and through water, yet you brought us into a place of abundance. Psalm 66, verses 8 through 12. This passage in Matthew 7 about a flood really speaks to me. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and acts on them may be compared to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and slammed against that house, and yet it did not fall, for it had been founded on the rock. Everyone who hears these words of mine and does not act on them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and slammed against that house, and it fell, and great was its fall. Matthew 7, verses 24 through 27. The difference between the houses being tested is in the actions taken by the builders in response to hearing the words of the Lord. Both the house on the rock and the house on the sand are built by hearers of his words. These are the saints. This is confirmed in Luke 6, verses 46 through 49, where we see that both house builders called to Jesus, Lord, Lord, but only one acts on them. Take warning and encouragement. See also Psalm 29 and Ezekiel 13, verses 8 through 16, for more texts on the subject of a flood. The collection of scriptures above informs us about what flooding means in a range of colorful language. Whatever the nature of this coming flood, it might well be expected to bring high drama with severe trial that on some extreme level proves character. There may well come a purging, refining, and perhaps a washing as a baptism of sorts, like what the flood of Noah's day was revealed to be in 1 Peter 3, verse 21. It should mark a significant transition in the character of the season. In 2008, the Lord engaged me in a work that had an enduring impact on my life. This involved an analysis of the occult ceremonies of the Beijing Olympics at its center. Many months of laboring and discoveries of many kinds resulted in my drawing the following conclusion, which is excerpted from the final entry in that epic study. Those who commissioned the Olympic signs appear to have a good grasp of what is coming. A downpouring of the dragon seed is appointed for judgment. The spirits of the Nephilim that were bound at the time of the flood are going to be released. They have been bound for 70 generations of 70 years after their hosts were destroyed. Millions will flood the earth as the eightfold dragon seed to meet with prepared hosts in an eightfold conception-style reception. A coming anti-flood is the testimony of the Beijing Olympic signs, crop signs, the American political process signs, and others I haven't yet addressed. It relates directly to the time of the flood of Noah's day and is appointed as a counter to it. The following links are for those parts that are most specific to the subject of the flood. Olympic Ceremony Symbolism, Part 6, Part 7, and Part 8. During that study, which included other remarkable signs of the time, I was left with the strong impression of the adversary's passion to bring forth an anti-flood or counter-flood. Whether or not this objective is connected with a granular projection of Noah's flood into the second night watch, well, I cannot say I know. The matter does beg being brought into this discussion, so there it is. Further figurative and esoteric considerations. Let's give some consideration to the figurative and the esoteric possibilities. Because the metaphor of water as time has become a major factor in recent years, I must allow that there may be an aspect in play where time is the flooding agent, even post-reset. That reset is the pending action which will result in the timeline of biblical prophetic fulfillment, and, it seems, deny the adversary the ability to repeat that kind of corruption. I believe the reset will deny the adversary his objective of deferring judgment further beyond the strictly appointed limit. The flooding by time is something that's being pictured in the media more and more frequently. While most readers may be apt to assign this supposition to the realm of mere science fiction or fantasy literature, the Bible does surely provide an adequate model for this with texts that conceal and reveal how the exploitation of time itself will again be used in hyperdimensional warfare, where both earthly and heavenly space-time domains are at risk, and beyond that, actually accessed, emptied, and trashed. It's a legitimate threat and certain reality, and potentially behind what has been prophesied through the threefold model of great sevens. The flood of Noah's day had such a pronounced effect on the gene pool of the Earth's habitation that I must also allow that whatever may come in the time foreshadowed may involve a pandemic of a kind that we've presented in a series of posts on our blog headlined by Aaron Herman. A sea change is coming as the gene pool is being transformed toward the day of the mark of the beast, when the human, or post-human, host bodies will be re-inhabited. It's notable that the vacancies will be filled by those who lost their lives in the flood of Noah's day. Another potential for such a great flood came to be seen when we considered the Black Awakening in the approach to the 2014 watch season. It's claimed by some that this is what the expendable masses of trauma-based mind-control slaves have been programmed for, according to their own admission. And I believe it, having been married to one for 15 years, whose program integrity was only partially intact. The idea is that chaos will be brought toward the goal of overturning the present social order for another, more controlled one to be established in the world where the beast wields authority in the earth. Ordo ab cao. The chaos would be orchestrated with an army of agents trained for specific missions. When the sequenced triggers are pulled, the systems fall like dominoes, flooding like a tsunami. Many perceive that this has been rolling out in stages even long before the actions linked to 9/11/2001 in the World Trade Center. There's another potential for a flood that deserves mention: America's appointment with destiny. I have had a revelation insight about America engaging Iran like it has Iraq. See Daniel 8. After a decisive victory, her power is broken. I mention it here because, even though I don't know when it will happen on the calendar beyond a general time frame based on deductive reasoning, it also means that I don't know when it won't happen. I can say that, given America's status even now, when the power is broken, the impact on the world will be substantial, perhaps having some potential to be a shadow of the flood of Noah's day. Watch notes. In seasons of watching, I didn't give this division much attention until this Shemitah came and the antitype, or event itself, was anticipated. We didn't realize how time had been hijacked and the prophetic schedule subverted. So this failure to witness the flood shadow event on the expected scale was disturbing and confusing, because the Lord kept on strongly encouraging us to carry on. What we did see was a wonky set of signs in a fashion that would have seemed appropriate in the preceding Shemitah cycles as shadows of the event echoing backward into the past, but slightly out of phase, perhaps. The following unedited posts were published during that watch season, which, depending on how it's calculated, falls in the range of May 5th through the 18th of 2014. The one on the bottom is most interesting. They are signs of the season, Noah sails past Jacob as a blue baby born, and Stephen Jones's observations, while on watch, signs of a counterflood, signs in the earth, report of May 15th, and initial observations while on watch in the projected flood season. In closing, here's some notes on calendar projections that were made in the interest of watching during the second night watch season. Without knowing how to best calculate the projection, three different ways were included. If you're inclined to cruise the news archives and consider the wonky signs of the season, help yourself. And this concludes our presentation of a flood like and unlike Noah's. Thank you for listening.